Ms. Hale?
Here.
Ms. Hughes-Gandies?
Here.
Ms. Treen?
Here.
Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Bladaszewski?
Here.
Mayor Welbel?
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I see no items, special order of business, and see nothing from the staff. We'll move on to approval of minutes. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that we approve the minutes. They were such small things and very few. And so the minutes are gorgeous.
Yes.
And that's unanimous consent.
Thank you, Ms. Becker, and I understand that both of our clerks have looked over the minutes to help with that. So any objection to approval of minutes? Seeing and hearing none, minutes are approved. Mr. Manager, do you have any agenda changes for us?
No agenda changes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Public participation on non-agenda items. Madam Deputy Clerk. Looks like we have two tonight. Let's limit them to 3 minutes. And first one is Paula Terrell.
Good evening, Mayor Weldon, members of the Assembly. My name is Paula Terrell, and I live at 4970.
Sorry. You're good.
Okay. Okay, your heart racing.
I was beginning to wonder. 4970 Thane Road. And the reason I'm here tonight is to talk to you about, to ask you about follow-up on our testimony from June 3rd of this year when we testified before you about some very specific points relating to cruise ship tourism and the impacts. We had some specific requests for information and help from the Assembly, and we haven't heard anything, and so I wondered what the status was, and we were also talking, you know, after the meeting we had at the downtown library. So that's mainly what I'm here for. We are perfectly supportive, most of us anyway, I am, of tourism and the tourism industry here, but there are some real concerns, long-term concerns. The other thing I wanted to say was we're very grateful. I don't know if Kirby's in the audience, but anyway, he has really helped with some quick fixes, like the stanchions that are down that are being put downtown. They're not finished. And some of the work he did with Unplugged and on Basin Road. But it goes beyond that. We really need to talk about carrying capacity and longer term. So that's all I have. Did I make it in time?
Does anybody have any specific questions for Ms. Terrell? Ms. Hale?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Terrell. I really appreciate your coming here tonight and raising issues that you have raised in the past. I believe you have gotten some information from the city clerk's office. Is that correct?
My understanding, and I've been out of town for July, but my understanding is that Beth was doing some work on the permitting list. And if it has been done, I'm sorry, I just didn't know about that. I mean, Carla might know.
Thank you. And Madam Mayor and Madam Deputy Mayor, I'm hoping that we can take up some of these questions that have been raised at perhaps a committee of the whole meeting and kind of figure out what an appropriate venue would be for discussing them further.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, and thank you, Ms. Terrell. You're asking specifically what we have done And what I've done is probably traveled around Juneau more than I have in several years, just asking people questions and watching the tourist traffic. Actually, the last conversation I had was a couple in Seattle in the airport last night who did a cruise from Atlanta, terminated in Juneau, and flew back. And we talked to them for quite a while about their experience, and they were noting the congestion everywhere in Juneau. So what I've been doing, based on what you and several others have brought before the assembly, is tried to corroborate or, you know, tried to find out more information from other people about what they may like or not like about the volume of tourism in town.
I'm very appreciative of that. I think that's one reason we had the meeting in the library in June, was to bring together people from various areas in Juneau to say, have you been impacted? Do you feel impacted? And from the locals' point of view, it was clear. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And Ms. Madam Clerk, do you have anything?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would just say I have been in touch with department staff. We are still working on compiling the information. So, Ms. Metcalf had said that she didn't want to necessarily incur expenses, so we're trying to find those answers that don't include the expensive time involved with staff.
Through the chair, Beth, is that just for the permitting question, or is that for, because there were some specific questions, for example, from the Department of the Law. Does that include the list of questions, or is it just?
Okay. That's just strictly related to your first request in the first question. It does not relate to the remainder of what
thank
was in that
thank
request.
You. Thank you for clarifying.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. And our second person for non-agenda item will be Carla Hart.
Thank you. My name is Carla Hart. I live on the back loop. I was here at your last assembly meeting to talk to you about the ownership of helicopter tour companies and the leakage of money that leaves the community while the impacts of the noise remain in the community. For this meeting, I pulled up another aspect of Juneau and cruise tourism and leakage, and that's specifically relating to the ownership of the properties along South Franklin Street. For this today, I used the City Parcel Viewer, the Assessor Database, the State Business License and Corporate Records, and then a bit of additional digging when corporations were embedded in corporations and corporations back to New York or wherever. Because other things occupied my time the past couple of weeks, I limited this assessment to the lower part of South Franklin, so the 200 block south. Over 63% of the properties, over 63% of the assessed values of the property from the 200 block of South Franklin Street down to the South Franklin dock are under outside of Juneau ownership. So when we're looking at how cruise tourism benefits Juneau, I think we need to think about a lot of aspects of what's going on. And that would be one is who's owning and who's controlling and who's profiting from our cruise tourism business. And again, are those dollars staying in the community or are they leaving? And do we have local control over things? So this was a quick one because, as I say, we got distracted with another project the last couple weeks. But I'll have more for you at a next meeting. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hart. Any clarifying questions for Ms. Hart? All right. Thank you. Is there anybody that wasn't able to sign up for non-agenda items? Seeing no hands, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Seeing hands. Are there any assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Ms. Hale.
Madam Mayor, I would request that we pull agenda item C, ordinance 2019-06C, from the consent agenda so that we can discuss it with the other items relating to the new JAC during our public hearing portion of the meeting.
Okay, that will move to our first item under, go ahead, sorry, go ahead, Mr. Assembly. I mean, Mr. Attorney.
That nickname's gonna stick.
Yeah. The option to pull something and discuss it with the items on public hearing is not available for a consent ordinance. So if you want to have something discussed at a committee, you could pull it and refer it to a committee either before or after introduction. It's your decision.
So Ms. Hale?
I'm thinking and the wheels are grinding slowly.
Do you want to take 2 minutes and confirm with Mr. Attorney on this?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Hale.
Yes, we will bring Ms. Hale back to order here. I will remove that request for pulling that from the consent agenda. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Seeing and hearing none, assembly actions. Ms. Varshevsky.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move the consent agenda, and I would ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, our consent agenda is approved. So that brings us to public hearing. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-31, an ordinance increasing the rates for water and wastewater utility services.
Mr. Manager.
The last utility rate increase approved by the Assembly became effective on July 1, 2018. In March 2019, the Utility Advisory Board recommended that water and wastewater utility rates increase by 4% in each of the next 5 years. In April 2019, the City Manager recommended an alternative that water and wastewater utility rates increase by 2% in each of the next 5 years. The increased revenue from these new rates will be used for anticipating operating cost growth and allow increased investment in needed capital improvements. This ordinance provides a balance between these two recommendations with a 4% rate increase for both water and wastewater utilities beginning in January 2020 and 2% rate increases for the 2021 through 2024 period, effective each July 1st. The first rate increase will be 18 months after the last increase in 2018, and the second rate increase will again be 18 months from the January 2020 rate increase. These rate increases provide for prudent investment in water and wastewater systems while acknowledging a desire to mitigate the impacts to the rising cost of living in Juneau. This rate change was discussed with the Assembly Finance Committee on February 6th, April 17th, and June 12th, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I don't have anybody signed up, but is there any member of the public that would like to address this ordinance? Mr. Collins. Please state your name and residence, please.
Charles Collins, 1921 Bartlett Avenue here in sunny Juneau, Alaska. I would like to urge the Assembly to be very careful at raising these rates while I understand that the infrastructure has to be updated and expanded. These rates are going to hit some of the lowest income people that pay these rates very hard. The last time that we had these rates going up, which seems like it was just yesterday, but it was a few months ago, I had a lot of phone calls about it, and I would like to just pass on that our tenants have already complained about prices. And when you raise the rates for water and sewer, I mean, it's a monopoly, so there's nothing we can do about that. Speaking for a few people that are already experiencing tough times and the economy isn't that strong, I would like to ask leniency for those people that I represent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Collins. Go ahead, Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Who do you represent, or what's your affiliation? Just, I'm unfamiliar.
I run a company called Wright Services, and we are landlords here and in Anchorage, and we have a few tenants that would undoubtedly get a raise in rent for the same amount as whatever is done. Is we usually just pass through these costs direct to them. You won't find their names on the bills, but you can find mine on there. So it's, we represent a few here in town anyway.
Any other questions for Mr. Collins? Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Collins, do you have any recommendations of what we should do that would alleviate the is what you're saying is a huge problem for the lower income people?
I'm extremely scared of the 4% number because that is so high. That's twice what the inflation rate has been running here. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't think many people's wages are keeping pace with that. So we are only going to take away more spendable income from those that can least afford it. I would love to see us stay down by the inflation rate, 1.6, 1.8%. Certainly, we have to do something as a community to keep our infrastructure built up, but with the issues that we're receiving from above, shall we say, with budget cuts and everything, we need to be very careful and we don't put ourselves into a mini recession right here in Juneau.
Any further questions? Ms. Hale.
Thank you. Mr. Collins, I'm guessing you weren't at earlier meetings where this was discussed. We thought long and hard about the impacts, and so we really tried to spread them out and have that first 4% increase come significantly after the last increase that we've all had, and then drop it down to 2%. So it was something that we discussed a lot and really tried to back it down so that we wouldn't have those impacts on people, especially people with lower incomes. Thank you for being here.
So, Ms. Hale, while I appreciate the statement, remember this time is reserved to ask questions of the people in our testimony box.
Thank you. I tried to start it as a question.
Any further questions for Mr. Collins? All right. Thank you, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Any other member of the public wish to testify on this agenda item? Seeing and hearing none, we will bring it back to the Assembly. Since it was your change, Mr. Rice.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-31, increasing the rates for water and wastewater utility services, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections to Mr. Bryson's motion? I will object. And for what Mr. Collins said, I think it should just be 2% across the board. Any further discussion? The 2% across the board, not the 4%. Any other objections or comment? Mr. Edwardson.
I support the motion, and I support it based on previous discussions, not just with the Assembly, but also the Public Works and Facilities Committee discussions. We did talk about those types of impacts, but one of the things one of the other members pointed out is we're going to be paying these costs. The more dilapidated the infrastructure gets, the more it's going to cost to fix it. The longer we wait, the more it's going to cost to fix it. And we're going to have impacts to all of the voters, including those lower on the socioeconomic scale, and that's not going to change in the future either. So it's going to be a broad swath of the demographics of all of Juneau that's paying this today, or it's paying it tomorrow. But if we wait, then they're going to be paying more tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Everson. Any other comments? Ms. Hale.
Thank you, and I support what Mr. Edwardson has said as well. We labored long and hard on this combination where we waited for that first increase until January of 2020 and made that a 4% increase. And I think that while I sympathize with the desire of the mayor to drop that first one to 2%, I think it negates all that work and serious thought that we put into this very difficult question.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Bodashevsky?
I'll just add to what everyone said. There, we have a utility advisory board. They spent many, many hours and days and actually years working on trying to figure out how to pay for infrastructure that really was undercapitalized. And anytime you raise rates, it's difficult. And as everyone has said, we talked about this many times and are trying to strike the right balance. So appreciate Mr. Collins and all the people like Mr. Collins who represent other people, but I have to reluctantly support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Ready for our vote? Madam Clerk.
Madam Mayor. Mr. Bryson.
Yes.
Ms. Becker.
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Point of order.
Are
we voting on Madam Mayor's amendment? Or no, you just objected. Thank you. I'm sorry.
So in favor of Ordinance 2019-31 passage, I have in favor Mr. Edwardson, Mr. Bryson, Ms. Becker. Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Bodashevsky?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Candies?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion carries.
Okay, that brings us to item B, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-36, an ordinance temporarily increasing the hotel motel room tax by 2% from 7% to 9% for a 15-year period and providing for a ballot question ratifying the increase.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would place the question of temporarily increasing the hotel motel room rental tax from 7% to 9% on the ballot at the next regular municipal election. In accordance with the Assembly Committee of the Whole direction at its meeting on July 15, 2019, the increase would be for 15 years from January 1, 2020 until December 31, 2035. The hotel motel room rental tax would automatically return to 7% on January 1, 2036. The hotel motel room rental tax was last increased in 1988. The increased rate authorized by this ordinance would initially generate an estimated $440,000 per year in additional revenue. It is the intent of the Assembly to use this increase in the hotel motel room rental tax to provide funding for the construction of capital improvements for Centennial Hall. Proceeds could also be used to help pay for general obligation debt service relating to Centennial Hall. If this ordinance is adopted by the Assembly, it would also need to be approved by the voters in the October election. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. And I have to take just one person at this time that is signed up, but we can have more after Carla Hart.
Thank you. My name is Carla Hart. I still live on the back loop. I have a number of points relating to this. I was involved in tourism when the first bed tax was brought into existence, and I think part of it was to go to fund Centennial Hall and has. I've had issues with us charging a bed tax in Juneau when we're the capital city, and someone comes down on their own dime to talk to a legislator, and they rent a room in the capital city, and they're charged 7% bed tax for the privilege of coming to meet with the state legislature. To me, that has always seemed wrong. It seemed punishing. They're not here because of any marketing that anyone did. They're not here because of Centennial Hall. They're here because we're the capital city, and we're charging them a 7% premium to visit the capital city. That seems wrong. To increase that to 9% seems worse. Bed taxes have increased, although the rate hasn't increased. The price of hotels has increased, the price of lodging, and the volume of lodging has increased. So we're getting a lot more bed tax, I expect, than we did in 1988. So thinking that we need to increase the percent of bed tax to increase the revenues is wrong. There's no nexus between visitors and Centennial Hall for the majority of people. Some come from conferences. But the majority of people do not come from conferences. There are neighbors from other communities coming to shop, to do medical things, to visit family, to go do whatever they want to do in Juneau. But they're not coming for Centennial Hall for the most part. Other visitors are coming to visit families from wherever. But the idea of attaching a tourist tax onto these people to pay for Centennial Hall is as upsetting to me as all the car rental taxes, which are charged to me for sports stadiums, for sports I don't even know what they are down south. It's an easy thing for us to vote for, but I don't think that it's right to do. We're trying to encourage independent visitation, which brings a lot more money to our city, and then we want to charge them more money to pay for a conference center and a hall that we use for the city. That seems wrong. As a solution, I would suggest, and I'm going to get shot at from Travel Juneau, but I'd suggest moving 2% from the Travel Juneau budget over to work on Centennial Hall. Right now, we have this massive cruise industry influx, and we haven't got a good management on that, so we're hurting our independent visitation. Let's get that in order and pay for Centennial Hall with money from their marketing budget. Thank you.
Is there any questions for Ms. Hart? Seeing and hearing none, thank you, Ms. Hart. Madam Deputy Manager, could I have you see if there's any more things signed up? Mr. did you have your finger up for that one? Okay, thank you. Are there any other member of the public that wish to speak to this ordinance? Come on up, Ms. Perry.
No additional.
Thank you. I'm Liz Perry. I live at 9812 Lone Wolf Drive, and I am here as President and CEO of Travel Juneau. As we have come before this body before in regards to an increase in hotel bed tax, our original position was that it would may not be a good or a suitable mechanism for funding other facilities other than Centennial Hall. I would caution the assembly in moving forward with this for the reasons that planners, again, do take into consideration overall tax rates when they are planning their meetings. There are a number of periodicals that I can put before you that show when they are showing different destinations and the amenities that those destinations have, put the tax rates right at the bottom for all the planners to see so they can see not only what the hotel rates are going to be, but what the effective tax rate is going to be. So it will impact our ability to sell Juneau for the next 15 or so years. That said, I also want the body to understand that, as I have said before to you before, that I am very cognizant and sensitive to the financial times that we are living in. So with that said, I just urge caution to the assembly in terms of our ability to market. If I may, through the chair to Ms. Hart's comment, is that Travel Juneau does not now or has never marketed to the cruise lines. We always market to our independent visitors and our meetings only. So we do not spend a dime to get extra cruise passengers here. Our goal is to have those cruise passengers have a good experience so that they will return as independents and maybe bring meetings with them. To that end, we would like people who walk by Centennial Hall to see it as a graceful building that they may someday want to have a meeting at. That is our intent, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Perry. Any questions for Ms. Perry? Thank you. Any other member of the public wish to testify on this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the assembly. Ms. Hale.
Thank you. I do have one question, if I may ask. Yes. And this may be a question for Madam Deputy Manager. We had received one email discussing whether we have an effective mechanism for tracking Airbnbs and their paying of bed taxes. Madam Deputy Manager, are you familiar with how we track those instances where people turn their houses into sort of Airbnbs?
If I might, through the chair, we have a mechanism that is loosely structured, so people report. Sometimes people don't. Our sales tax office does do some checking against short-term rental sites to see who's reporting and who's not. We do not currently have a requirement for any type of business licensure. If you want more detail than that, I believe the finance director is in the audience, and we could call him up to ask. But that's the high-level answer to your question.
I don't think I need more information from the finance director. Are you saying, though, that people who do Airbnbs in town are required to remit sales tax?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, like everybody else, I received the same email, and I'd like to know the scope of the problem. Do we know how many people have Airbnbs? And the problem, if I'm not mistaken, is basically the same problem Ms. Perry was talking about, which basically the hotel or the B&B has to make a decision whether they're going to charge more or whether they're going to take money out of the profits and keep the price the same. So I'd like to know how big the scope of the problem is. Do we know how many Airbnbs are in town?
I'm going to ask Mr. Rogers to come up.
Uh, Thank you. Mr. Edwardson, about 130 is the number. And I talked with the sales tax administrator this morning about this issue, anticipating some of these questions. Based on the emails we've received, we get a good rate of compliance. We do have sales tax compliance officers who troll Airbnb and VRBO and other sites as they emerge, looking for renters or looking for hosts that rent on those sites. We reach out to those people as business owners and inform them of their obligation to file sales tax returns. There's a packet of information we send to them that includes some amount of information on how their sites work. Both Airbnb and VRBO will allow, though not require, the host to opt into those sites automatically collecting that sales tax for them. So that simplifies the transaction on their end. In terms of compliance, you know, it's an evolving business with a lot of new entrants to the market, right? I mean, we have 130 today. We probably didn't have very many last year or the year before, maybe. So the number is growing. They estimate that they get between 90 and 95% compliance, and so they will make a concerted effort to look at those sites and get up to date every couple of months. So, you know, they identify new entrants, and they get them filing, and a few months go by, and they get a few people. And many people volunteer. I shouldn't suggest that people don't. But for those that don't volunteer, they catch them up every couple of months and get them onto a required filing schedule. I think that it would not be fair to say that there are lots of people operating Airbnbs who aren't paying their sales tax.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Ms.
Laschewski. I was going to ask this at the end of the meeting, but we're in it now. There's a suggestion from an emailer that Anchorage made some special deal with Airbnb for Airbnb to collect the sales tax. Is that correct? I mean, is that a separate thing? Is that something we can do, or do you know if that's true and how that works?
I'm afraid I just don't know the answer. Okay. I speculate that what Anchorage has done is they have required Airbnb and VRBO to collect those taxes. I do know that for Juno's purposes, hosts can opt in or out of it. It doesn't really matter whether they opt in or out of it. The sales tax remains due.
I know it's due, but if you could look in to see if there is some requirement, it would make it easier for Airbnb participants to pay instead of having to register individually with us, et cetera. So
I'll come back on that. Thanks.
Ms. Treem and then Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to say that for the people standing in the back, there are four open seats here in the front if you want to sit down.
And actually, folks, we can't have you block the doorways because it's an exit. So if you don't want to sit down, please come to the other side of the room so you're not blocking the doorway. Thank you. I was getting there. Mr. Jones.
I was just going to comment to Ms. Glaszewski. We have the same issue with Uber and Lyft where they don't collect the tax. We still require each individual driver to file as a filer for sales tax so that we know that they're actually driving. It's no different than asking an Airbnb to register even though they might have the tax collected by their national organization. We have to be able to adapt our tax codes to changing markets. And Uber and Lyft's a big one. At least the legislature hasn't kicked us out of regulating them or B&Bs like they have Uber and Lyft. So it is an individual business person's responsibility in any community to be aware of the taxes they owe and to pay them.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any other questions, comments? Bring it back to Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that we adopt Ordinance 2019-36 related to increasing the hotel-motel room tax by 2% and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, motion passes.
And if I may add, and providing for a ballot question to ratify the increase. Thank you.
The whole title goes with it. So, and I need 2 minutes to confer with Mr. Attorney for a second.
In the 1970s, a lawmaker in New Jersey proposed that residents put their glass, metal, and paper out on the curb in separate buckets. His neighbors thought his idea was garbage.
Did people dump a lot of trash on your lawn, or what was...
Just enough to irritate me, let's put it that way.
Today, recycling is big business. But is it getting too big? We go inside a sorting facility to find out on the next morning edition from NPR News.
The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council presents the 12th Annual Food Festival, Saturday, August 31st from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Jack. Shop for local produce, foods, and sustainable goods, and enjoy free workshops on probiotics, improving your soil, and Southeast Alaska crop varieties. Plus music, food trucks, fresh flowers, and loads of fun for the family. More info at jahc.org or call 586-ARTS.
There's a wren in a willow wood, flies so high, sings so good, and he brings to you what he sings to you. And the love in his lullaby seemed to tell me if I try, I could fly for you. And lover, I want to try for you, 'cause sing you a love song. I want to rock you in my arms all night long. I want to get to know you. I want to show you the peaceful feeling of my home. Summer thunder on moon bright days, northern lights and skies ablaze, I'll bring to you if you let me sing to you. Silver wings in a fiery sky, show the trail of my love and
sing to you.
Quick question on a consent agenda item. So, item C. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-35, version C, an ordinance authorizing the issuance of general obligation bonds in the principal amount of not to exceed $7 million to finance capital improvements to the facilities of the city and borough, and submitting a proposition to the voters at the election to be held therein on October 1st, 2019.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance authorizes the issuance of not to exceed $7 million of general obligation bonds. The purpose of the bonds is to fund renovations to Centennial Hall. Initial project scope is provided in Section 6 of the ordinance. Funding sources to repay the bonds would be a 2% increase in hotel tax if approved by the voters, paying 65% of the debt service payments. 0.04 mills, approximately 0.4% total increase in property tax, increase in the property tax mill rate, paying 35% of the debt service payments. The ordinance provides for issuance of 15-year bonds. If this ordinance is approved, the question of whether to sell the bonds would be placed before the voters on October 1, 2019. The need for bond debt financing was discussed and approved at the July 15 and July 29 Assembly Committee of the Whole meetings. Version C of the ordinance added the word possible to Sections 3 and 6 as directed by Committee of the Whole. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I don't have any member of the public signed up for this, but does any member of the public wish to testify? Come on up. And please state your name and address.
Kathleen Harper, 5140 North Douglas Highway. I'm currently the manager of Centennial Hall, as employed by the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and just highly encourage funding of any sort, especially this, for the much-needed repairs and renovations to Centennial Hall. Even if we aren't able to fund the renovation schemes that have been talked about in terms of expanding the size of Centennial Hall, there are some parts of just the physical plant that really need to be replaced soon, and they're going to be costly. I'm mostly thinking of like the HVAC system, which is aging, and we're replacing parts as we can, but that costs the building almost like $15,000 a month in utility costs. So anything we can do to make the just general running of the building not be quite as expensive would be fantastic. So replacing some of those aging systems. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing and hearing none, thank you for your testimony. Any other member of the public wish to testify on item C? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Hughes-Candies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-35, Version C, and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Candies. Ms. Blaszewski.
I object for the purposes of a technical amendment. When we talked about this, the explanation in the ballot proposition was to mimic items 1 through 4 on one of the lists we had. We talked about this so many times. I'm not sure which meeting that list came to us, but we meant it to be items 1 through 4. And I think that the language in here can be improved by just moving something around. So I'm going to pass that out if you would just take it. This is on page 217 of your packet. It's just moving the word possible to the end, to and possible construction of new meeting rooms and offices. The way it's written now is it looks like two things are possible, and we meant for the corridor between the Jack and the Centennial Hall to be funded. So what this does is moves the phrase and possible construction of new meeting rooms and offices to the end instead of in the middle, thereby not saying possible to two things we didn't mean possible for. So that's my amendment to the page 217 of the ordinance.
Ms. Hughes-Gannies, are you accepting the friendly amendment?
Okay. I accept.
Mr. Jones.
Madam Chair, I'm not convinced that our rules allow for, quote, a friendly amendment. And since this is a bond issue that's going out to people, I think we need to formally vote on the amendment. But I believe under most rules of order, there is no such thing as a friendly amendment.
I stand corrected.
I move the amendment.
Okay, and Ms. Hale, I think you had your hand up. Maybe not.
It's an objection, but I don't want to.
I move the amendment and ask for unanimous consent.
Yes, I'm not objecting to the amendment.
Okay. Any objection to the amendment? Seeing and hearing none, the amendment is passed.
Thank you.
Okay, going back to the original motion, I don't know who had their hand up first, but you've talked already, Mr. Jones, Ms. Hale.
I object and would like to discuss my objection, please.
Go ahead.
It's really a question of order, and I probably should have spoken to this earlier, but it's sometimes hard to keep up. I feel that it would be behoove us to discuss Ordinance 34C first and come back to 2019-35C.
I believe our agenda is set and no one asked for changes to the amendment, but I look to our attorney to see if that is true and if we can change at this point.
Madam Mayor, the agenda is set unless a majority of the body wants to change it.
I request that we hear Ordinance 2019-34C first and 2019-35C second and ask for unanimous consent.
Okay. Do you wish to speak to your objection, Mr. Jones? Do you wish to speak to your objection, Ms. Becker? All right.
Madam Mayor,
Go ahead, Ms. Hughes Candies.
May I ask Ms. Hale to speak to why you'd like to change it?
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Hughes Candies. So Ordinance 2019-34C contains language that provides essentially a contingency that if Ordinance 2019-35C does not pass and 2019-34C does pass, 2019-34C still won't pass. And I believe that we need to either not link the two of them, which would require changing 2019-34C, which is second after the 2019-35C that we're looking at now, or change 2019-35C so that it too is linked, and if so that if the 2019-34C passes. I'm getting lost. 2019-34C contains a link back to 2019-35C, and I believe that we may want to change 2019-34C so that if we hear 2019-35C first and it needed a change that doesn't happen in 2019-34C, it's too late. We can't change it.
Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you. And I'm going to say this, one, maybe to clarify it, and one, maybe to understand the motion better myself. But the two ordinances are linked. So if we amend one, it does affect the other, and we may not know how. So I have the same concern that Ms. Hale has. Well, on the one hand, I have the same concern Ms. Hale has. The other is this has already been moved. So within the rules, I don't think that we can stop until we decide on the motion, unless the motion is withdrawn. And then since the agenda is set, then I think we would have to waive the rules, which requires a 6 out of 9 vote to change the agenda to put this one back.
Okay, well, let's go back to Mr. Attorney. So since we have a motion on the floor already, Mr. Attorney, can we now switch to change the agenda?
Can we take a 2-minute at ease on this one?
We're going to address this.
I'm going to turn to Mr. Attorney to make the explanation.
Thank you. So right now, there's probably two options for the body. One is for the maker of the motion to, if the body wants to consider changing the agenda, one would be for the maker of the motion to withdraw the motion, and then it would take five votes to take the Jack advisory ballot question 34C up, or if the maker is not willing to withdraw, then the assembly would have to suspend the rules, which would take six votes to suspend, and then a vote of five to take up the 34C item first.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Attorney. It's up to you, Ms. Hughes-Candies. Proceed with the motion or withdraw your motion.
Madam Mayor, I will withdraw the motion for purposes of moving on.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hughes-Candies. And so our next item is to see if we want to...
If there are five votes, if there's a motion made and five votes to support it to take up 2019-34C, that would go first. If the motion fails, then you're back to 2019-35C.
Okay. Ms. Hale.
Madam Mayor, I move that we take up 2019-34C and ask for unanimous consent.
We have objections. If anybody wants to speak to their objection, please raise their hand. Okay. I think, Ms. Hale, you've already spoken to this, so we will, unless anybody else wants to speak in favor of it, we'll move to a vote. All right. Madam Clerk.
In favor of taking up Ordinance 2019-34C, Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
No.
Ms. Beck?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Treen?
No.
Ms. Bodaszewski?
No.
Ms. Hughes-Candies?
Yes.
Mayor Whelan?
No.
Motion fails.
Okay, so we'll go back to item C, Ms. Hughes-Candies.
Still moving it. I move ordinance 2019-35C as amended and ask for unanimous consent.
Okay, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
Do you wish to speak to your objection?
I do. Couple of questions, first of all. I talked to the attorney a little bit today, but maybe Mr. Rogers may need to come up and explain to me. In the manager's report, he said that this is a 15-year bond for $7 million. But in section 4, page 2 or 216 of the packet, it talks about shall mature over a period of not to exceed 20 years. And then on page 217 down at the bottom, under general obligation bonds, it says sell general obligation bonds maturing within 20 years. But in the middle of page 217, it talks about the interest rate cost for 15 years. And the explanation I got from the attorney was that this gives some flexibility that if potentially we got better rates at 20 years, we would be able to do that. But if I remember right from other discussions about bond issues and when we get the actual bond ordinance that authorizes the sale of bonds, if this were to pass, there is an estimation of what the interest rates are, and generally there's a statement in there that gives some discretion to the manager within certain parameters to approve those rates. Never have I seen in any of those ordinances, if you do it for 15 years, here's the rate. If you do it for 20 years, here's the rate. So I've never seen that happen before. So I just have some question whether is confusing for other people. Does the explanation that the attorney gave me hold up, or in some cases, does it matter? So either Mr. Rogers or the attorney or the manager maybe has some explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. They're pointing to Mr. Rogers.
They're calling me.
Mr. Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. I'll acknowledge up front that you've been doing bonds a lot longer than I have. This, as many of you know, this body employs private bond counsel, Ms. Weed, to prepare these ordinances, and she has been the city's bond counsel for 30-plus years. We defer to her experience. There is a reason it is intentional to have 20 as the period and 15 as the estimation. There's a couple places I'll point to in here, but I think a key piece here to understand is that we often sell bonds many years after we authorize them. So, for example, the airport right now is going out to capture the last $5 million of the general obligation bond from 2013. Obviously, the CBJ's finances are just different. You know, we're just in a different place. Interest rates are in a different place. This is a bond that we may put to the market in 6 months, in 6 years. I really don't know. We just actually don't know what the trajectory of the sale will be. So there is really huge variability in interest rates. Today we might pay 3%. 5 years from now we might pay 6%. I mean, we just don't know. So there is a certain amount of flexibility. One other little factor that enters into this is that we talked, part of what you're considering tonight is that hotel bed tax would pay for part of this. That estimation is at $440,000, which is what's in the ordinance, and that's correct. It's the best information we had at the time. I now know secretly what our sales tax was for 19. It's not a secret, but at that rate of sales tax, we will actually get $465,000 for 2% in this year. It'll be different next year. So we may actually be getting much more than $440,000 from the additional 2% of sales tax, which would presumably reduce the amount that the assembly would want to bond for. So there are a number of decisions that will enter into how much exactly the assembly will want to bond for, and then your own sense of how you want to have the mill rate repay that indebtedness. So the question to the voters is, how much are the voters willing to approve for indebtedness, meaning a dollar amount, and what is the maximum duration? Section 4 on page 216 says this the most clearly, second sentence of section 4. The bonds shall be sold in such amounts and at such time or times as deemed necessary and advisable by the assembly and as permitted by law and shall mature over a period of not to exceed 20 years. So the ordinance itself gives the city and borough the flexibility to sell bonds in a way that's going to meet its financial needs. The question to the voters, which is what you see in at the bottom of page 217, ask them to affirm the total indebtedness and the maturity, and the explanation right above that is an example. And the last sentence of the explanation is, this example of a property tax level is provided for illustrative purposes only. So it is intentional to give that maturity of 20 years. If we issued the bonds today, I imagine we would issue them for 15, and that's what's reflected.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Does that answer your question, Mr. Jones?
A little bit. Still sort of bothered by it, but it makes some sense.
Okay.
I would just point out that it does say 20 years from the date of issue. And I understand that if the voters approve the bonds in October and we don't sell them for 6 years and we sell them for 15, that's 21 years. But that last statement says maturity after they're sold, which is still 15. So, but I will let that go. I will take the explanation and figure the bond council probably told us what is right.
Okay. Do you maintain your objection?
I still maintain my objection. That was only my first one.
Okay. Do you want to speak to your second part of your objection?
I do, and I may withdraw, but... as you know, I was not at the Committee of the Whole where this was discussed. I did listen intently to the assembly meeting on tape, and I listened to the Committee of the Whole on tape. And my major objection is that we do not have the ability to amend this ordinance, and there is no ability for this body as a whole to vote on whether or not the other ordinance that was before this body for a $10 million bond. I think the motion that the deputy mayor made at the assembly meeting to move the ordinances to the committee of the whole did not remove the manager's request that it be set for public hearing. The attorney has a different opinion, so I will go with his. But it seemed to me that, and then at the committee of the whole, somebody asked if we were going to consider the body at that point was going to consider the $10 million amendment. The chair of the committee said, no, we've already voted on the $7 million, so the 10 just dies. And I don't agree with that. I think that as a body, when we have two ordinances that have been introduced and been referred to a committee, no action should not kill it. It should have been on this agenda. The attorney says you cannot amend this to $10 million because it would require notice and would have to go back out for hearing and we would miss the October election. But I think the assembly was remiss in the way it handled the choices between 7 and 10. There were good arguments for the 7. There were probably good arguments for the 10, but they never got to be spoken. And I think even with the amendment today and making it possible for new meeting rooms or offices as attending a hall, I think it is clear that $7 million is underfunding what Centennial Hall needs. I think it is terribly underfunding the possibility of Centennial Hall. And the fact that at the committee of the whole, those issues and arguments were never made bothers me considerably. So I will get off my high horse. I probably will withdraw my objection because $7 million is better than 10. I will point out that in this ordinance it says paying part of the cost of acquiring. And again, in another place, it talks about the general obligation bonds are part of the funding. So I may well want to argue we may need to add some money to this later on because I just think we're terribly underfunding. But with that, I will remove my objection.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jones. And I also talked to the attorney about this because you brought this subject up. So, Mr. Attorney, could you explain to us what happened?
I will do my best. At the last regular assembly meeting, there were two bond ordinances that were set on the agenda for presentation. The one item did have a manager's report, as Mr. Jones described. The $10 million bond ordinance had a manager's report that did refer it to as a recommendation for introduction and then referral to public hearing. The deputy mayor at that meeting made a motion to pull all of the Centennial Hall and Jack ordinances and send them to a committee of the whole. That motion passed, and the mayor did provide a clarifying remark that the manager's report shall be noted as changed at that meeting. And I believe that clearly describes that all of the Jack and Centennial Hall items referred to the committee of the whole. At the next committee of the whole meeting on July 29th, the committee then addressed all those items, and there was debate, at least clarification as to which ones the committee referred back to the assembly for public hearing tonight, which are the ordinances that you see in front of you tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. So, Mr. Jones, you withdrew your objection. So are there any objections to item? Seeing and hearing none, motion passes. And since we're getting a little bit, since I know item D is of importance to everybody in this room, I think we will take a 10-minute break because I believe that discussion will last a while. She did. Okay, so we are on item D, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-34C, an ordinance calling for an advisory ballot proposition on grant funding for the new Juneau Arts and Culture Center.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The existing city-owned arts and culture facility needs replacement. The city and borough has been asked to provide a grant for the new JAC to help attract substantial additional private funds. At the Committee of the Whole meeting on July 15th, the committee directed that an ordinance be presented asking the voters whether the CBJ should provide a grant for the new JAC. At the Committee of the Whole meeting on July 29, the committee directed that the amount of the proposed grant be $4.5 million. If a grant is made in the current fiscal year for $4.5 million, the money would be appropriated from the sales tax fund balance. The Assembly discussed that it intends to replenish the draw on fund balance by reallocating the $4.5 million of 1% sales tax funds over the next 3 years that was originally programmed for Centennial Hall improvements, which the voters approved in 2017. The Assembly also discussed that it intends to replenish the 1% sales tax funds originally programmed for the Centennial Hall improvements by issuing general obligation bonds. The general obligation bonds are intended to be paid back by raising the hotel motel room rental tax by 2% and increasing the property tax by 0.04 mils. If the voters support the city and borough providing a grant for the new JAC, the Assembly intends to impose 5 additional grant conditions that are described on page 3 of the ordinance. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. There are members of the public that would like to speak to this ordinance. So we'll start with Patricia Hall. Please state your name and address. And Madam Clerk, let's limit everybody to 2 minutes.
My name is Patricia Hall. I reside at 6395 North Douglas Highway. I am a past trustee of the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council. I served 2 terms, so I've been involved with this project for a very long time. The grant is a crucial ingredient in the mix of funding sources that will realize the new JAC. Outside, private funders expect municipal support before they come forward. And so this grant will serve as the leavening ingredient to make the rest of the bread rise. The grant is important to the momentum of the project. I encourage it to be adopted by the Assembly. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Any questions for Ms. Hall? Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list might be Nancy DeCherney.
Hello, I'm Nancy DeCherney. I live at 3195 Pioneer Avenue. I'm the Executive Director of the Arts and Humanities Council, which means I also have an interest in Centennial Hall. I just want to congratulate you guys because I think you're going to be the Assembly that kicks this project out of the ballpark and realizes a dream the city has had since at least 1975 when I moved here. I have been working, like Patricia, on this project for many, many years. I want to just say in the past sort of month, 3 or so, I have met 5 different people who've told me they've moved from Anchorage to Juneau because they love what goes on here in Juneau. They had 5-year plans with their families to get here. We are a strong creative in capital of Alaska. You should be leading with our strength. Juneau is the strongest. Marianne Carter, who's the head of the National Endowment for the Arts, quoted some of the statistics. We top national charts for the creativity of our community. I really want to just say this is something that you can do for this community, and I want to congratulate you because your name is going to be on a big plaque. And you're going to feel good about yourself. So give yourselves a hand and really do what you can to get this project built. It's time, and it's what the community needs. Everybody, you all were there at the block party the other night. Even Mr. DeWitt was there. So it was. It's a community center that everybody needs, and it is falling apart. I think there'll be some opera singers here that'll tell you about dressing rooms and stuff like that, which would be good. So vote for it. Get it out. Get it to go. Get your friends to vote for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you run off, are there any questions for Ms. Deterney? Seeing and hearing none, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay, and next we have Bob James.
Hello, everybody. My name is Bob James, 4478 Mountainside Drive. Nancy, you're a hard act to follow, for sure. First of all, thank you, Madam Mayor and esteemed Assembly members, for all the work you do, what you're doing tonight, and you do every day for this city. We really appreciate what you do, and I know it's not an easy job. I brought this up, but I must admit, I'm confused about this whole funding thing right now. I want to bring it right down to the basics. I do support the new Jack Community Center, and I think I may have a little bit different perspective on it than Nancy. I have employed through our company hundreds and hundreds of young people over the last 23 years in Juneau, and these are people that, including this year, that want to move to Juneau, that want to make Juneau their home, that want to live here in a community with lots of vitality and opportunity. And I believe this center, we owe it to the young people in this community to provide this center now while we can. It's a heavy lift, we know that, but it'll be an even heavier lift in 5 or 10 years. I think we can do it. I know we can do it. I know we have fundraising opportunities ahead of us that are going to blow us away when we roll them out. So I hope you have confidence in what this group can do, because they do an incredible job at everything else they do. And I want to provide the young people that are going to be our teachers and our attorneys and our community members here the opportunity to live in a beautiful city with a vital cultural a center and a vital cultural opportunities for them. So I back it. I back and I ask for your support as much as you can give it. You guys can figure out the details of all this much more than I can. And I'll close by giving you a little story. Over a half a century ago, I took a date to the what was then the National Guard Armory, over half a century ago. And we walked in, and it was a high school dance. And we heard it on the same crappy sound system, and I used that same small crappy bathroom that I used 2 weeks ago, and I walked out the same door and looked into the hall, and everything looks exactly the same as it did over a half a century ago. And it smells the same as it used to smell. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 1966. So we are ready for a change. We're ready for something new, and we're ready for something beautiful, and I appreciate what support you have given in the past and will hopefully continue to give to this project. It's something it's a legacy we have to leave for the young people that are in Juneau now.
Right. Thank you. Mr. James. Any clarifying questions? All right, thank you, Mr. James. Yeah. And I apologize, Ms. Terrell, I missed you because you'd already testified, but you had said you wanted to testify. You had said that you wanted to testify on the new Jack also.
Paula Terrell, 4970 Thane Road. Those are both hard acts to follow. I'll make it as brief as possible. I totally support the Jack. I sing with several different groups, and the Jack is, as I was going to ask Nancy, what dressing rooms? You know, I mean, despite the fact that people really do their very, very best, the sound system, putting the curtains up and everything else, when we were singing with the Pride Chorus, we sang at the Jack several times. Two of our members had to say that they could never sing there again because of the mold. The mold was so bad that I remember one of the singers got up to sing a solo and she could not do it. And so from that point on, we couldn't sing at the Jack. So we morphed into another lovely space. The sound system, you can't even hear the voices next to you, which you need to be able to do to hear the blend. So it's just one small part of the beauty of having a new Jack. It is not the place for all of our beautiful arts. It really isn't right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Terrell? All right. Thank you for your testimony. And now we look like we have Watts.
Good evening. My name is Pam Watts. I live at 3290 Noel Avenue. I've lived in Juneau for 28 years. I was the director of two nonprofits, mental health and chemical dependency organizations, and of a state board for 5 years. During that time, I had opportunity to try to arrange conventions, meetings, conferences, and discovered that we in this community missed out on a lot of opportunities to bring large groups of people here because we couldn't accommodate them at Centennial Hall and we couldn't meet their needs in any other venue that was available in the community. And I think that we're currently losing revenue in that manner as well. State, regional, and national conferences would be available to us if we had better facilities for them. And I think also we clearly need a performing arts center to grow our reputation, as was previously stated, as a vibrant arts and community, arts and culture community worthy of attracting more visitors and performers. And as was earlier stated, too, the current Jack facility is woefully inadequate for many of the performers who might otherwise come here. And a lot of our local residents can't even attend events there because of the mold issue. The acoustics are poor, the seating's inadequate, and Centennial Hall is not designed to meet the needs of a variety of these performing arts events either. So the planned new Jack and Centennial Hall enhancements would combine to meet multiple business, arts, and culture needs and bring in revenue to our community that's currently slipping through our fingers as we've debated this project for a long time. It would also help
wrap it up, Ms.
Yes. It would also help anchor the downtown area to balance arts and culture with the tourism industry, making the area and our community even more attractive to residents as well as visitors who choose to spend their time and money here.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Watts? Thank you for your testimony. Okay, next we have Nola Lamkin.
Is that all right? I haven't planned to speak.
So you don't want to speak? Okay. Then we have Jill Ramil. I can't say your last name. Ramel. First of all, we have Jill Ramel. Next. Okay. She just left.
Jill Ramel left and asked me to make a brief statement on her behalf. She had to leave.
Okay. Then we have Bud Carpinetti.
Thank you. My name is Bud Carpinetti. I live at 634 Seward Street. Jill Ramil signed up and had to leave, and she asked me to make a brief statement in her behalf. Jill is the president of the Downtown Business Association. She asked me to tell this anecdote. I interviewed her 5 years ago as one of 28 community leaders that the partnership asked that I interview to get their impressions on the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council and Perseverance Theater, which was then part of the partnership. She told me a story about running the cafe at the Silver Bow over a number of years, and she was having trouble keeping her staffing levels at the correct level because every now and then there would be these influxes and she didn't realize what was going on. And after a short while, she said she realized it was because of events like Folk Fest, which was at that point growing, Celebration, which was in its very early stages. And she mentioned two or three other events, and she said this brought home to her the impact of the arts on private businesses in town. And she's now the president of Downtown Business Association. We met with them recently. She repeated that anecdote about 2 weeks ago of that event from 5 years ago, and she asked me to present that to you as her version of why it's important for small businesses in the downtown area to have an expanded facility there. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Bud, a.k.a. Jill?
I don't know what she would say.
Thank you. Any further testimony on this ordinance? Mr. DeWitt.
Thank you. I'm Dennis DeWitt. I reside at 9006 Ferndale Street. I oppose this transfer. I do support the new JAC. I think that would be a great thing, but I think it ought to be done with private funds. The notion that the municipality has nothing in this is just simply not the case. There's $1 million of sales tax revenues that the municipality has contributed. There's property that the municipality is contributing. There's the tearing down of the old building that the city is spending money for. So the fact of the matter is the city does have an investment. Question is it enough? I think that the private sector really ought to step forward. If $26 million is too much for them to swing, then perhaps they ought to scale back a little bit. I don't think we need quite the facility that is being proposed. So I'm opposed to it, and I will work to see that this ballot measure, if it's passed by the Assembly, is defeated. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. DeWitt. Any clarifying questions for Mr. DeWitt? All right. Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else wishing to testify? Come on up. Please state your name and address.
I'm Sammy Legg, and I live at 4950 Steelhead Street. If I understand correctly, this is just an advisory ballot proposition, and I was wondering if you guys could do something to clarify what will happen to the funds if the advisory proposition does not pass. I don't know if you need like a resolution or if you can amend it.
I will pass that to Mr. Manager to explain what would happen.
Madam Mayor, if the Assembly chooses not to place this advisory question on the ballot, then the sales tax will still be collected, and it will be to the Assembly to appropriate it as it sees fit. When the sales tax was put to the voters previously, it had intent language that the money would be spent on Centennial Hall. I would note that that is intent language. It's not requirement language. So it would be back at the Assembly on how to allocate the sales tax when it's collected.
Okay. Was that your question, or was your question if it doesn't pass at the voting level?
I guess my question is more if it doesn't pass the voting level, you guys have the ability to do whatever you want with those funds. Will those funds go back to Centennial Hall, or will they still go to the JAC?
Go ahead, Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, if the Assembly passes this ordinance tonight and the voters reject it, it will still be back at the, or approve it, it will be back at the Assembly. So the Assembly has the discretion to allocate the sales tax as it sees fit, and whether or not the question is put to the voters and whether or not the voters approve that question, the Assembly has the authority on how to appropriate those funds when they come in.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any questions to our testifier? Thank you for the question. So, anybody else wish to testify? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move it to the Assembly. Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-34C and ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you.
Do you want to speak to your objection?
I do. Partly this comes from some other discussions that I listened to on the tape of the Committee of the Whole meeting and some other discussions that I've had. In your red folder, you'll see a chart that sort of lays out the possible scenarios of two issues we have passed already, which was the bed tax and the bonds for Centennial Hall. And you'll notice on there, there's only two possible outcomes that will fund the JAC. And as we've talked about earlier today at this meeting, these are intricately linked. I would like to propose an amendment to this ordinance. It's one that I don't believe is substantive enough to cause this to not make the ballot. And basically that amendment is on page 3 of 4 of the ordinance, or page 221 of the packet. Lines 19, starts on line 19, number 2. And my amendment is to delete number 2 and then renumber the rest. And I would move that amendment, and I can speak to that if you want.
You may speak to your amendment.
Okay. What this does is it removes the possibility that the voters would say, yes, you may take previously approved sales tax money for one project and now grant it to another project, and nullify that vote if Centennial Hall bond package failed, so that you could have a vote of the people to say, grant this money to the JAC, but don't bond for Centennial Hall. And in essence, then the grant to the JAC would not be approved because of the condition that we set. In that sense, Ms. Hale had talked about these were linked and changes need to be made. This is the one change we can make in this ordinance that would clarify that if this ordinance passed, irrespective of what happens with the bonds for Centennial Hall, which I hope will pass, and I certainly will be voting for it, this grant for the JAC would still go through. So it seems rather strange that we would be voting on all of these issues and get down to it, and there's only two possibilities: is that all three of these ordinances pass, or that this and the bond issue pass is the only two that would grant this money to the JAC. I just don't feel that's right.
Okay. Any further discussion or objection? Mr. Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I can see Mr. Jones' point of view, and as I've publicly stated, I am for a new JAC. And I thought the $4.5 million grant from the Assembly was a very generous donation and got them moving in the right direction. However, as the Assembly, we do currently own Centennial Hall, and we have an obligation to Centennial Hall. And so I see that number 2 is critical to our current responsibilities. It would be careless to give away money that has been approved and authorized by the voters to improve Centennial Hall, and then risk not being able to have any money for Centennial Hall that is in desperate need of repair. That is our building. We own it. We are obligated and responsible for that. Number 2, make sure that we can live up to our responsibilities. As important as it is to fund the JAC and move it forward, it would be almost use the word dereliction of duty to jeopardize the needed funds to take care of our civic center that we use as a city on a daily basis. And so I'm going to have to object to Mr. Jones' amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Mr. Edwards.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I support Mr. Jones's amendment, and for I do it for a couple of reasons. One is I can't imagine a situation where the voters tell us that they want to contribute to a new Jack and for us to say no, which is what we would be saying here. So it's the voters that we're asking whether or not we should proceed with the new Jack. It's the voters that we're asking if we should proceed with Centennial Hall. And if the voters say no to this one and yes to this one, we're asking them their advice for a reason. The second thing is it is advisory. So I can't imagine a situation where the voters voted to fund a new Jack and this automatically triggered that it failed because Centennial Hall didn't pass. I can't imagine a situation where we wouldn't be back there voting on it because these are advisory votes. Like the manager said, we're going to be reviewing this, whether it passes or whether it doesn't pass, to decide whether we move forward. And the other, and I can't remember exactly, so I'd ask Mr. Assembly or Mr. Attorney, if we can make one ordinance contingent on the other. Is that legal?
Mr. Attorney.
Thank you. Short answer, yes, you can condition one ordinance on another if you so desire.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Any further comments?
Oh, thank you. Mr. Bryson and I have had this discussion before, and I appreciate his arguments. The Centennial Hall is important to the community. It is a building that houses a lot of events every day. But as the manager reports, the Jack is a city-owned building. We use it every day. The community uses it every day. To say because Centennial Hall is obviously ours and we refer to the Armory building as the Jack doesn't take away the fact that we own both buildings. We own the land under it. And we have a responsibility to put before the voters very clear, concise, knowledgeable ordinances before them so they can make a choice. And I think they need to understand that when they vote on this, that moves that sales tax money from one project to another. And if they vote for that, we should honor that. Thank you.
Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm in favor of this amendment for all of the reasons that Mr. Jones and Mr. Edwardson have articulated already. I also, we have these, and we got these in our packet, which this is a matrix that shows the different possible outcomes of the votes, and it won't do you any good if you're colorblind because it's in red and green. But, and this is to help us up here understand the possible outcomes of the different advisory or the different votes on the ballot in October. And we have talked about this, the Assembly has talked about this, I don't know, like 7,000 times. And if we still, at this late date, need a cheat sheet to figure this out, I don't think it's fair to ask voters to be making their decisions in the voting booth without having this information. So I think decoupling them, in addition to the all the reasons why the other Assembly members have already said it, will just is what we should be presenting to the voters anyway, just because it's easier.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I was originally in favor of linking these two for the reasons Mr. Bryson said, because Centennial Hall has been on our list for a long time and it needs upgrades, and I didn't want to take money away from that project. But there's also another principle about not linking projects, just having them stand on their own. And that does seem fair, and for the reason Ms. Treem said, with the complicated matrix that we had to find. So I guess in the end, I'll go with the easier, separate them instead of the harder to understand connecting, even in spite of, and I think that I personally think these projects will either all pass or all fail. I don't know that one of them will pass and the other one will fail. I don't know, actually, nobody knows what will happen, but I hope they both pass because both, the money is needed for both projects. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Gandies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would echo a lot of what's been said up here. And when we discussed this at the Committee of the Whole, I initially wanted them linked. But I think at this point, with as much discussion as we've gone into, I know how I'll vote, and I know the importance that I feel that the projects have. But I think it deserves to go to ballot in a simple way, and I think let them stand and see how they do. So I support the amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes. Ms. Becker, you're the only one that hasn't spoken. Would you like to speak or not?
I guess I'd like to have explained to me exactly what happens with all the things that we have said with the conditions. If we unlink them, they would all go away. I'm asking a question. I'm sure I understand what this is talking about.
Okay, who'd like to do that? Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, I actually missed the question because I'm focused on another section in the explanation that the Assembly may wish to amend.
Ms. Becker, would you repeat your question?
Maybe I just don't understand what they're asking for, but it sounds like they're asking to take both of these and just make them standalone projects, which means that Jack will be voted on for $4.5 million and Centennial Hall will be voted on for $7.5 million. And if Centennial Hall doesn't pass, it makes no difference to whether Jack passes or not, and vice versa. So that means that none of the conditions that we have already voted on would stand. They would go away also. I'm hearing no with a shake of the head over here.
So, Mr. Manager.
That's the part I want you to explain.
Madam Mayor, in response to Ms. Becker's question, I think she's got it right. The two issues become simple yes-nos for the voters that rise and fall on the merits individually. Clarifying the final part, the other grant conditions listed in the explanation still stand. It would just be the linking in Section 2 of the grant conditions that would be removed, just the connection between the bond ordinance, but everything else would stand. I believe it would be fair to say that the explanation for the voters is streamlined. Two questions, yes, no, they're unconnected.
Okay. Mr. Attorney, you concur with that finding? Okay.
I do.
Go ahead, Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, I have a second question that the Assembly may wish to consider as it debates whether to delete this Section 2. So on packet page 221, the same page that has Section 2, going up to the bottom of the first paragraph, lines 12, 13, and 14, you may wish to delete the latter half of the sentence. Right now it reads, the Assembly intends to replace funding for Centennial Hall by issuing general obligation bonds to be paid back by raising hotel motel room rental tax by 2% and so on. And you may wish to just streamline that sentence to, the Assembly intends to replace the funding for Centennial Hall. So if you de-link that Section 2, I think you go back to more general language there may be helpful.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Jones, would you like to withdraw your amendment and restate your different amendment, or
no?
I've learned that you can't make friendly amendments. So
no,
you can vote on this.
No, I do not. And since I made the motion, I was trying to answer Ms. Becker's question that I was only deleting two on the conditions. The conditions 1, 3, 4, and 5 remain. They just get renumbered. The manager finally got around to answering that, but I would not support changing the explanation above because we have already approved the bonds to go to the voters, and we've approved the hotel bed tax to go to the voters. So it's up to them. So no, I would not want to amend mine and call for the question on the amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jones. So seeing everybody else has done, I will object to the amendment for many of the reasons that Mr. Bryson stated. And we also had Centennial Hall staff come and talk about the needed updates to the Centennial Hall that is needed. And I, as a city-owned building, I think it is not, I think it is derelict to let the building go without possible funding. So for that reasons, I'll object. So we will call for the vote.
So on the amendment from Mr. Jones to Ordinance 2019-34, Version C, page 3 of 4 of the ordinance, line 19 to 20, to remove item number 2 and to renumber the remaining conditions. Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Candies?
Yes.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Mr. Edgerton?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion carries 6-3.
All right. So before we move on to unfinished business, let's take.
Madam Mayor, we now have
to go to the reg. Sorry, we have to go to the motion itself. That's amended. Okay, Ms. Tree made the motion.
And I asked for unanimous consent.
Any objections to the motion? Seeing and hearing none? So moved.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
For the information of the Assembly, tonight we set for public hearing Ordinance 2019-06C. In that ordinance, it had this condition in there. And so I would move that we instruct staff when that comes up before us at the next meeting for hearing, that be amended into a version B that removes what we just removed here.
So I don't know if that can happen because it was on our consent agenda. Mr. Attorney.
There are two options for you on that one. Tonight the Assembly adopted the amendment to the Assembly Rules of Order, which allow any Assembly member to have a ordinance presented for the Assembly. That could be interpreted to also allow a slight amendment in which the body addressed, or you could also suspend the rules and have that motion by Mr. Jones made tonight as well.
Or a third option would be when it comes up for a public hearing, make the amendment.
That's also an option.
Okay.
So. I was not asking it be amended tonight, that we instruct staff to make that amendment.
I don't think we can have it amended without before
okay. From
one to the other. I could be wrong. Can we amend it between a consent agenda and coming back before public
hearing? Not without suspending the rules and doing something to it.
Okay. Ms. Treem?
Can we just ask staff to remind us to amend it when it comes back?
That is an option.
I have amendment. I move to suspend the rules and to do that so that it's clear. People know what the real thing is, so we don't have to amend it at the time. I move to suspend the rules and make that change. And ask for unanimous consent.
Any objection to suspending the rules to make this change? Seeing and hearing none?
Okay.
So now we just have to make a motion to do that, or are we good?
If you would make a motion to do that, that would be
Ms. Gladyszewski.
I move to do a Mr. Jones remove item 2 from the appropriate places in that ordinance.
Any objections? Motion passes. Okay. Now let's break. So we'll take a break for 10 minutes.
You're tuned to KTOO Juneau. The weather for tonight is partly cloudy with a low around 47. And tomorrow we have a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 1 p.m., increasing clouds with a high near 57. Wednesday is scattered showers, turning into Thursday. A chance of precipitation is 80%. We've been listening to the live meeting of the City and Borough of Juneau. They've gone on a break, and I will be playing some Loggins and Messina, and we'll be back shortly.
If you've been thinking you're all that you've got, then don't feel alone anymore. 'Cause when we're together, then you've got a lot. 'Cause I am the river, and you are the shore. And it goes on. Summer, in our skyships forever, sailing the wind somewhere. Sunday morning brings us miles from earthbound, sailing the wind. September, keeping kite time together with some of the wind. Swaying to a gentle breeze of ocean, sailing the wind. Up among the clouds, I see my fish. Ooh.
He's a man in his glory, a boy in his dreams, and he's living his life in between. Tomorrow will answer for yesterday's dream.
Unfinished business. Mr. Attorney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is Harris Homes LLC versus the Community Development Director. This is an assembly appeal from Harris Homes LLC of a Planning Commission decision to dismiss an appeal of the Community Development Director decision. The Planning Commission's written decision is dated February 26, 2019. The Assembly accepted the appeal. It was assigned to a hearing officer. After considering the briefing by both parties, the hearing officer issued a proposed decision, which is included in your packet on page 223. The proposed decision was served on the parties and no objections were filed within the allowed 5-day window. Tonight, the Assembly needs to decide whether to accept the hearing officer's proposed decision. No testimony or evidence of any nature other than that contained in a timely filed objection may be received by the Assembly at this meeting, and there is none. I recommend that the Assembly adopt the proposed decision as the final decision for this appeal.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Any questions, comments? Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And forgive my ignorance, but I read this a couple of times, and I didn't feel like I had a full, clear understanding what the outcome was. Could I get maybe a brief layman's report on what the verdict was for this?
Mr. Attorney.
Sure. So the basic summary is there's a property owner in Juneau, Harris Homes LLC, that developed a piece of property. The community development director issued a enforcement action notifying that property owner that there were code violations. The property owner, subsequent to that enforcement action, changed the development such that the community development director believed that it complied with the code. The property owner continued appealing, and the Planning Commission dismissed the appeal, saying it was moot. There's no controversy anymore. The property owner appealed that the Planning Commission's denial to the Assembly, and the hearing officer also made the same conclusion that there's no active controversy between the two because the property is now compliant with Title 49 to the satisfaction of the community development director. So there's no controversy to decide, and so the legal term for that is mootness, and so the hearing officer determined that the appeal was moot and affirmed the dismissal that the Planning Commission made.
Follow-up, Madam Mayor?
Yes.
So if we accept the hearing officer's findings, then absolutely nothing happens?
The property owner can continue to appeal this to Superior Court if the property owner believes that the Planning Commission's decision and the hearing officer's decision is wrong. Alternatively, there could be some other option. The hearing officer identified that possibly the property owner could file a lawsuit alleging the Title 49 is inconsistent with state statute relating to condo development, and the property owner could try to sue in that capacity. I don't feel that it's proper to opine on the basis of that, but that is an option that the hearing officer identified as potentially existing.
Thank you, Attorney Palmer.
Any more questions? Ms. Glashefsky.
I would move that the Assembly adopt the proposed decision as the final decision.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That brings us to new business. Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, we have two property owners requesting the Assembly authorize the assessor to consider a late filed appeal of their property assessment. One is a disabled veteran filing, and the other is a senior citizen exemption filing. The action required by the Assembly is to determine whether or not the late filed tax assessment appeals will be heard. Evidence on the assessments themselves or merit of the appeals is not relevant. The Assembly should consider each request separately and determine whether or not the property owner was unable to comply with the 30-day filing requirement. The burden of the proof is upon the property owner to show the inability to file a timely appeal. In this context, the word unable does not include situations in which a property owner forgot about or overlooked the assessment notice, was out of town during the period for filing an appeal, or similar situations. Rather, it covers situations that are beyond the property owner's control and would prevent a property owner from recognizing what is at stake and dealing with it. Examples of this would include physical or mental disability serious enough to prevent a person from dealing rationally with their private affairs. Disagreeing with the amount of the assessment does not constitute inability to submit a timely appeal, nor does a notice of assessment being sent to a wrong address. Property owner is responsible for keeping current correct address on file with the assessor's office. If the assembly decides to accept one or more late filed appeals, those assessment appeals will be referred to the assessor for review and action. I recommend you act on each of these applications individually.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. So we'll take the first applicant first.
Madam Mayor.
Ms. Hale.
I am friends with the first applicant. I do not believe that my friendship will impair my judgment in this case, but I just want to make sure the assembly knows that.
And you talked to your attorney?
Yes, I have. And he told me to say that.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hale. As a member of the assembly, see a conflict with Ms. Hale? Seeing and hearing none, we're moving on. So back to the first applicant. Where am I at? Mr. Edwardson.
Yes, ma'am. I am going through to see. I don't have a pre-written motion, so I'm trying to think about what to move here. Mr. Palmer's signaling.
Mr. Palmer?
The motion could be to accept the late filed application.
I move that the assembly accept the late file application for Mr. Norman L. Custard.
Any other objections? Okay, I'll object also. Mr. Jones, would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes. Basically, front page of the memo 69-10-20, extraordinary circumstances of a finding good cause do not include late file due to claimant's inadvertence, oversight, or lack of knowledge. In his letter, Custer's case said he missed a deadline due to simply inattention. That he is a disabled veteran and he's received the exemption over the past several years. I think by his own statements in the application, there was no extraordinary circumstances for him to miss the deadline.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any other comments? Mr.
I'll just point out that I'm also a disabled veteran. The process is cumbersome and a little bit senseless in the fact that he's a disabled veteran, been receiving these benefits for years, and then has to reapply. And you have to get a new letter, which means you have to learn an entirely new system. So for me, reading between the lines, I actually am not getting the exemption right now, and one of the reasons is it's almost impossible to get through the VA's system to get a new letter.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So on the motion to accept the late file appeal for Norman Custard for disabled veteran exemption, Mr. Edwardson.
Yes.
Mr. Bryson.
Yes.
Ms. Becker.
Yes.
Ms. Gladyshevsky.
Yes.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Handy?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion carries.
Okay, so we'll move to the second applicant. Where are we? Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that we grant the request to have the senior citizen disabled veteran tax exemption accept the late filed application for applicant Sarah Han Jackson.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing none.
So moved.
Okay, that brings us to staff reports. Mr. Manager, tell us what all this red means on this chart.
Madam Mayor, in the back of your packet is a memorandum from Ms. Gilbred at the Community Foundation about budget impacts, potential budget impacts, and in your red folder is an updated memo from Mr. Rogers. This is based on the news that we received today from the governor's administration. We're just highlighting this for you tonight, and we have this as a item on the Finance Committee agenda for Wednesday, and we're just trying to get good information out to you and to the public on the impacts of the governor's actions today.
Okay. So mainly this is information item. You're going to go more into depth on Wednesday's finance.
Correct.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Madam Mayor.
So this is just an information tonight to read over, and we'll go into it in depth on Wednesday's finance meeting. Ms. White. So, do you have a question, Ms. Hale?
Yeah, it's either a question for you or for Mr. Manager. When we go into this in depth, are we, at Wednesday's finance committee meeting, are we going to explore options for assistance from the city to some of these entities that are affected by this, these budget cuts?
I'm going to go to the chair of that committee first, I would think. Mr. Chair of Finance.
I think the discussion would be warranted, and members can make amendments as they want. I would hope that since we have considerable amount of work to do over the next 2 or 3 months on readjusting our expenditures and revenues, that we not try to settle all those issues on Wednesday night, but we should certainly open to having the discussion about what we might do. I think the analysis in Juneau Community Foundation's was based on the initial vetoes. Some of those didn't pan out. I think we would have as much discussion as the committee's rolling to have.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any other questions tonight? Seeing and hearing none. Mr. Manager, do you have anything else regarding this?
Madam Mayor, may I interrupt?
Yes.
Are you just opening it to Jen? Thank you, Madam Mayor. You're asking questions specific to that?
Yes, right now. Okay. Mr. Manager, do you have anything in regards to this?
Nothing further. No, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Hughes-Scandies, did you have a question about something else?
I do, Madam Mayor. I wanted to ask, I think it would be for Mr. Attorney, but with everything we discussed with the JAC ordinance and the centennial bond, I feel crystal clear that the sales tax is an advisory vote when the member of the public asked what would happen if it failed or not. When the ordinance containing the bonding, is that also, and I guess the clearest way to answer or ask that is the assembly can't go for bonds without a vote of the public. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that is not actually an advisory. It is, in some sense, an advisory vote. They have to approve it in order to do that. But if they vote against it, the assembly can't come back and do anything about the bonding.
Correct. So the assembly cannot sell bonds without having the voters also approve that.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones.
I think we need to clarify that the assembly cannot sell general obligation bonds without a vote of the people. The assembly can approve revenue bonds if they're backed by sufficient revenue, which we have done for the hospital and for, I think, ones for maybe 16B. And the assembly has the ability to do that without going to a vote, because we are not obligating the citizens' money to paying for the bond. So just to be clear, general obligation bonds have to go to a board of appeals. Revenue bonds do not.
Thank you.
Good Ms. Houston.
I think so.
Any other staff reports?
Any questions?
No further staff reports. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And then on to the mayor's report. All right. For my reports, I have been out of town a little bit again. I took my son to college. Yay, the last one. And we got to drive cross country, so that was a lot of fun. And then I got back, was in town for 5 hours before I flew to Solana and went to the Alaska Municipal League, so with Mr. Jones and Mr. Watt. So learned a lot there, and it was good to talk with a lot of communities. And they're dealing with a lot of the same issues that we're dealing with, especially in the finances. And I have to say kudos again to our staff, and not quite you yet, Mr. Rogers, but Mr. Bartholomew, that the city and past assemblies, that our city is in pretty good financial status compared to a lot of the other cities. Some of them are pretty scared of what's happening right now. So, and I just wanted to mention again that we said goodbye to Bob Bartholomew, and we thank him for his service, and welcome to Mr. Rogers. And we put you on the spot several times tonight, so you did well so far. So I was on Action Line, and I'm again on Action Line tomorrow because the Derby was switched. So instead of being on Friday, I'll be tomorrow. I have to say congratulations to those running for office that are unopposed, although I have to say to the members of Juneau, I would wish that you weren't all unopposed, so that's kind of a different type of election for us. And Mr. Smith is in the back, so congratulations to you, Mr. Smith. I also got to sit down with President Peterson, and that's always a great time to sit and talk with him. He's a wealth of knowledge, and it's always good talking about ways in which the city and the tribe can work together. So thank you to Mr. Peterson for finding the time for me. And the last thing is Mr. Watt and I sat down with some of the developers in our community, and we're talking about how the city and developers can work together better to provide more housing in the future. And as those ideas develop, we'll see those in a committee at a later date. So that's pretty much the extent of mine because I've been traveling. So we'll start with you, Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 6th, the PRAC met, and we saw the presentation about the Eagle Crest summer potential revenue stream, and that was really exciting. One of the concerns was Eagle Crest was the last non-commercial refuge for citizens, and that is not accurate. Eagle Crest is not the last non-commercial, and actually Eagle Crest is considered commercial because even during the summer they operate the zip line tour up there. On the 7th, met with JEDC. They gave a brief update for the Alaska Committee. Juneau population is down 0.2%, but jobs were up 0.1%. And they provided the executive director's employment review. And Brian has gotten good marks from the JEDC board. They really like him. He does a lot of different task for that organization, and they pointed out that last year with some turnover that they had in JDC, that Brian's really stepped up and kept the organization. He made everything seem seamless, even though we had lost staff members. I was in Fairbanks representing Juneau for the Alaska Committee at the State Fair from the 8th through the 12th, and as I advise Ms. Treem, anybody who is working one of the Fairbanks, you might want to look at bringing some vegetables. They're missing those at the fair. I spoke with Fairbanks citizens, great group of people. I met a couple of the other representatives up there as well. On the 13th, Planning Commission met. Big topic was a 40-foot tower for public safety, Montana Creek rezone, and another marijuana facility conditional use permit. I left the last assembly meeting
a few minutes early. Thank you, Madam Mayor. My daughter, Mary Ellen, left the next morning, and she is now in Ica, Peru. She's completed 2 weeks, and or well, I guess 3 weeks now, and will return to us next June. On Sunday night, the 12th, Nina Steckenborn, a German foreign exchange student, moved in with my family, and Nina will be with us through, hopefully, up through the holidays. And then my daughter, Elena, left for school. It wasn't that exciting. She just hopped on a car on the ferry and then left. And that's all I've been doing. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The big issue in the Public Works and Facilities Committee was that the committee voted against authorizing the funding for the Amalga float extension. So that stopped in committee. I just wanted to make sure that the Assembly was aware of that in case the Assembly wanted to do anything further, but it's effectively stopped. Relative to the Juvenile Commission on Sustainability, I've gone on 2 cruise ship tours. I went on the second one because it was a princess ship that plugs in, and I wanted to see that process. That was really, really interesting. We had a very dynamic chief engineer, and I got to spend quite a bit of time with him, and it was actually very interesting because Juvenile Commission on Sustainability members are pretty educated in the kinds of topics that he was talking about, so it was quite interesting. One comment that he made, I asked him, kind of, you know, trying to see if Alaska's great. I said, so do your staff like coming to Alaska? Is it kind of like your favorite place? And he said, actually, no, it's the hardest place for us to come because we have to work so hard at all of the environmental compliance. And so it's not that they don't like it. It's just that they really, really work hard to do their job here. That was very impressive. JCOS has updated their website. It's quite good. They've put a lot of effort into that. Relative to the hospital board, they've got a campus planning contract with Jensa Yorba Wall with a solid outreach plan, so we'll probably hear more about that. They have an ophthalmologist who's only going to be here 3 days a month, but he will be doing surgery as well as working with people that need hands-on ophthalmology, and so he's starting August 28th, and the optometrists in town are very excited. And then finally, they are, the hospital board has approved an affiliation analysis, and I wanted to bring this to the attention of the Assembly. So what they're doing is they're hiring a contractor to explore whether affiliation with a larger hospital makes sense for Bartlett. And it's really, we talked about this at the hospital conference that I was at. We actually met with somebody who does that. And it's really just making sure they're analyzing the landscape accurately. Throughout the nation, hospitals have been sort of gobbling each other up, and there's been all kinds of mergers. And so they're just trying to make sure that they're well-positioned if that should come to pass. So you'll be hearing more about that, but they wanted to make sure that I let the Assembly know. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Hill.
Thank you.
Ms. Hughes-Gaddies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My report will be exceedingly brief. I traveled back east for a week to deal with some family issues, and I hosted some family. So that cut down on the amount of community events I was able to attend. The Sister Cities Committee was canceled, the one I could have made for lack of quorum. The Juno Commission on Aging and the Downtown Business Association both met while I was back east visiting family. I feel pretty sure I can hardly remember the last time we met. It seems like it was a long time ago. But I was able to take a tour of the Norwegian Bliss, and that was very eye-opening and really nice experience to get to talk with a whole bunch of people on the cruise ship. And that was the first time I'd ever been on a cruise ship, and it was every bit as crazy as I thought it would be, and somehow so much larger still. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Gaddy. Ms. Train.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First of all, I'm going to say happy first day of school to everybody in Juneau, all the students and parents and teachers and staff. I'm a little bit jealous. I don't think I have any first days of school left in my lifetime. Maybe. You never know. Never say never. The Aquatics Board met on July 23rd, the day after our last regular assembly meeting. They have almost an entirely new board, so I believe they spent that meeting just introducing each other. And the aquatic staff is planning a board retreat this fall where they'll kind of coalesce about what their goals are for the board. And their next meeting is next Tuesday, the 27th. Travel Juneau met on August 1st, and they got the presentation from Dave Scanlon about the Eagle Crest summer development plans. He's been a busy man lately. And they have been discussing the suite of ordinances that we discussed tonight, and we heard from Liz Perry tonight about Travel Juneau's thoughts on those. I also toured the Norwegian Bliss, and it was crazy. And yeah, I had never been on one of those ships either. It was really eye-opening, but it was fun. Alicia was here too. We served food at the Veterans Appreciation Dinner together. That was a really lovely experience, and thanks to Duff Mitchell for inviting us. Last week, I spoke with a University of Alaska graduate student who worked on the Anchorage Muni's Climate Action Plan, and she's continuing her work this semester by researching climate change actions being taken in other Alaska communities, so that's a project she'll be working on all semester, and stay in touch with her. I attended the reception at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute last week for the NEA chairwoman who was in town, so thank you to Sea Alaska and to Ben Brown on the State Arts Council folks for arranging that. And finally, I attended the Friday Black Party at Centennial Hall, and I believe we discussed starting an assembly marimba band, so see me afterwards and we can assign who will be playing what instrument. That includes you too, you guys as well. So get ready for, we're going to start a band.
I used to play the French horn. Thank you, Ms. Trim. Mr. Edwardson.
I don't know what marimba is.
You'll learn.
So, Mr. Bryson, I disagree with you. I think it's exciting that anybody's hopping on a ferry right now.
Oh. Great thing.
Let's see. The Human Resources Committee met right before this meeting. We discussed annual reports for Historic Resources Advisory Committee and Youth Advisory Board, and have recommendations for board members. For the Historical Resources Advisory Committee, the Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly reappoint Zane Jones, Gary Gillette, and Chuck Smythe.
Any objections?
Okay, for the Youth Advisory Board, the Human Resources Committee recommends that the Assembly appoint the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council selection, Della Cheney, Benita Nelson, reappoint Benita Nelson for a term beginning September 1st, 2019, and ending August 31st, 2022. And Michelle, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. What was that?
Berlin, I think.
Yeah, Michelle Berlin for a term beginning September 1st, 2019, and ending August 31st, 2022.
So does anybody have any objectives to these nominations for the Youth Activities Board? Seeing and hearing done, nominations accepted.
Okay, thank you. And on the 13th, I attended an airport board meeting. I'm not going to go over everything, but there are a couple of things that are of general public interest. One is they've began with a lot of their renovation of the buildings. The I think it's called the Alaska Room, the room that the committee meets in. That's now being closed off to be turned into office space, as a swing space for the construction to put people into. So we met at the Glacier Valley Fire Hall. A couple of things that they were talking about. One, I think it's going to be pretty noticeable, is they're reconditioning certain portions of the tarmac and the runway, so the airplanes are going to be landing in places that they don't normally land, and they're also going to be back taxiing, which will affect the flow of the aircraft. The other notable thing is, on a previous inspection, I think they had a environmental finding for years of practicing with and discharging AFFF aqueous film forming foam on the runway and on the grounds out there, and it has bad substances, PFAS and PFOS, but apparently they're not bad anymore because discharging does not violate Alaska water quality standards. It did, I think, a year ago. It doesn't anymore. But they're still approaching it. They were, I think, well into the process of hiring, hiring contractors to do studies to see if anything needs to be mitigated or if any action needs to be taken for the previous discharges. So they're well on their way to that before it was declared not dangerous anymore. So they're going to continue on going with that. So I bring that up because that's something that we may be hearing about later. And I didn't really go to much. I went to Seattle and drove.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Edmondson. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My two was gone quite a bit. I missed a couple of meetings. I did listen to the tape, so I tried to catch up. There hasn't been a Finance Committee meeting since our last assembly meeting. Our next one is Wednesday, the 21st. You should have gotten your packets tonight, and that meeting will be at 5:30. The General School District met, they don't meet in July since June, so August 13th. I was not there as I was up at AML. Their next meeting is September 10th. I will be able to meet that. I leave the next morning for that, but I will be able to attend that one. I didn't attend a whole lot of other activities because I don't think we had a bunch. And those that were on, I was out of town. I would concur with the mayor's report about AML. There's a lot of concern out there about the budget and the impacts that it's going to have. A lot of issues about community revenue sharing, bond debt reimbursement, taxes at the local level, potential omnibus education bill that could change the formula by which we fund schools, and a lot of other issues related to schools. But nobody had any answers. Nobody knew exactly what the end product was going to be. So there was a lot of gnashing of the teeth without understanding what where we're going to end up. And I really appreciate AML's efforts to keep everybody informed about that. But it is a significant problem. The other thing that came up that was interesting, given the mayor's comments about four assembly members running unopposed, that seems to be a phenomenon among lot of other communities where they are not getting people willing to run at all. I believe I read this morning that Unalaska has 5 seats, and as of this morning, and their deadline was tonight, they only had 2 people file for those 5 seats. So there's a lot of discussion at AML about, especially at the board meeting, given AML strategic plan, is how to engage, lack of a better term, midstream issues, Scandi's age group, in terms of developing new leaders and developing that. I was surprised that a lot of the communities run programs very similar to what the clerks and the League of Women Voters do. They do it differently. I think the city of Wasilla has 2 student members on their assembly. None of that has, like ours, proven to get people to run. But it was an interesting discussion. I was really surprised at the number of communities that went around the room talking about that, about functions they had to engage people, to talk to people about running for office, how to run for office, very similar to what we do here. And yet all of them were concerned that nobody was actually filing, nobody was actually stepping up to the plate. So that was a great interest. And then the other concern that I had was, I did listen to the tapes of the assembly meeting and the committee of the whole. It showed me that maybe I have made a lot of significant issues by not slowing down, by not making motions clear, because after 7 years on the assembly, there were a couple of times on those tapes that I got completely lost in a discussion about what was going on. It took playing it again and again and looking at the agenda for me to figure out exactly what we were talking about and what was before us. So hopefully I can improve that. But just as a caution, if any of you have not listened to our meetings and having not been there, it was really difficult in those two meetings to really figure out exactly where people were at various times. And tonight we're on the radio, so there's the listening public, and they probably don't have the knowledge we have. Committee of the Whole is just us. But I think it's really important that we sometimes slow these meetings down a little bit to be very clear about what page we're on, what exactly our emotions are, because I found it difficult to go through a three-hour meeting, pay attention, and basically to take 4 hours to go through a three-hour meeting because I had to keep going back. So I hopefully will be a little bit better. I don't know if I was successful tonight, but I do think that. And then just two other final
comments. You can be a model for us.
I know. Role model is one of my least favorite things I want to be. So the memo that Paul and Carol talked about, I know it was distributed. Have we ever sort of formally as an assembly asked the manager or the attorney to respond to the questions raised in that letter? I mean, I'm concerned as well as they that we sort of haven't dealt with it. Even if it's, you know, an answer that really this is not something for us to discuss or whatever. So I guess I would like to request that if it's going to come back, and I think Ms. Hale's suggestion was that maybe it come back to the committee of the whole, that if it's going to come back to the committee, there be some kind of response from law and or the manager about the questions raised and the answers that are possibly up for discussion. Not saying we can't answer them, but at least up for discussion, and I would like to see that happen. Lastly, Ms. Hale's comments about Bartlett having a contract to look at affiliation. Having spent over 10 years on the hospital board at various times, 25 or 30 years, hopefully the attorney has looked at that and looked at the scope, because the one difference in our community from many others is that we own the hospital. Well, we appoint the hospital board and they hire the executive. You know, any final say on what might be an affiliation or not is ours. So hopefully the attorney has looked at that and has, you know, put enough sidebars on that you know, suddenly the community doesn't go, well, why are you selling Bartlett, or who's going to buy Bartlett, or, you know, what are you doing to my health care? that's not the conversation we need to be having today or any other day in my mind. But so I just, hopefully that's on the attorney's radar and paying attention. And that's my last comment.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Attorney, you want to address that?
I can start off by saying I will get some answers for you tomorrow.
Thank you. And Ms. Hale, did you want to speak?
Yeah, thanks, if I could clarify that. And thanks for raising those concerns, Mr. Jones, because I think that's really why the Governance Committee wanted this to be discussed at the Assembly. They're definitely not looking to go out and sell Bartlett, and they know they can't do that. They'll be working with contracts. They haven't even drafted the scope of work, or they hadn't as of last Monday, so they were just going to get started drafting the scope. The real intent is to really kind of do a SWOT analysis and see what our threats are, see what the opportunities are, see if we should be thinking, Bartlett should be thinking about aligning with some other hospital. The hospital on the Kenai Peninsula has done that with Providence. And it's actually a very scary time right now for small hospitals, because small hospitals have to face much of what large hospitals have to do, but with much more limited resources. So it's really, I appreciate the concern you raise. It's really a preliminary stage, and it's one that they'll make sure and keep us in the loop on. And I'll keep you in the loop as liaison. But thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a couple of comments from what Mr. Jones said. I don't know the reason that people don't turn out, but I know that there's a real perception that there's a lot of work. And I think we give that perception because we're here at, what is that really, 10 to 11? No.
10 to 10.
Okay, we're going to be here at 11, I'm pretty sure. And I don't know how we cut things down, but I think we need to try to think about doing that. I think people just think it's an awful lot of work. If you're a young person, you have a job, and you're going to 11 o'clock on these nights, and sometimes we have 3 or 4 meetings in a week, that's, and you have a family at home. We can't have all retired people on this board. I mean, we have to have people who are out there in the public working, and their perspective is just different. That's number one. The other thing, and I've been meaning to suggest this for a while, but I can't suggest it till now because I only have a few more weeks till I'm off the board of the Assembly, so it's an okay time to suggest it now. I think it's time for the Assembly to, or the Finance Committee or whoever, to consider a raise for the Assembly members. I know this is just supposed to be a little bit of something to help pay for your cab and your babysitting, but the truth of the matter is there's a lot of work, and I think a raise of maybe $100 a month more or something like that would be acceptable and probably a good idea, and I would just like to suggest that the Finance Committee discuss it in the budget deliberations. So that's it. Then lands will meet Monday. Campus Council met, and classes are starting on August 26th. There's a reprieve from the governor and some of all the negotiations that went on between the governor and the university, so that most of the things are going to be pretty stable for this year. And although there have been some cuts of personnel, it's not as disastrous as it would have been had we had taken that kind of a cut for the university. Docks and Harbors last meeting, they appointed committee chairs and committee members. Vessels can't just stay at the boat launch any longer. They're going to be ticketed and can't just be there. And they discussed having a retreat and goal set. The Alaska committee talked about the impact of the vetoes on especially gavel to gavel, because gavel to gavel didn't get the money to continue. And there's a lot of money that goes out from our city and through the Alaska Committee to support gavel to gavel. So it's important issue to us on the Alaska Committee. We're gonna send a member to the AFN conference in Fairbanks. We're gonna look into having a retreat in the middle of August, and the Palmer Fair starts the 22nd of this month and goes till September 2nd. Chamber, Bruce Denton spoke about the Glory Hall, and that was meeting before last. And just a reminder that we can't have a reminder because we can't go, because our mean finance person has a meeting on Wednesday night.
but anyone who can go in the public, talk will be, there'll be a talk about Glory Hall moving to the Valley, and that'll be an open forum at the Bradovich Hall from 5:30 to 7. And then the other recent speaker at the chamber was Mary Ann Carter, who's the chairman of the National Endowment of the Arts. Very lovely lady. There also was a Sea Alaska Heritage reception for her. And reminder from the chamber that the chamber dinner is October 26th. I went to the federal building to present a proclamation from the mayor about the time capsule, 25 years of time capsule, and read the proclamation, and there's a lot of stuff in those windows. I hope you've all gone to see them. It's amazing. That's it. Thank you.
Ms. Becker, Ms. Bleshefs.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met on the 29th, talked about the Centennial Hall and Jack, and went through many iterations of that. We saw that tonight. We talked about the Subport land purchase. We'll be having an executive session soon on that. Resolution amending the Assembly Rules of Procedure, talked about that. That passed tonight. Also, the ordinance regarding criminal justice reform was introduced tonight. We were going to talk about junk cars, but the meeting went so long we didn't get to it. So we're going to talk about junk cars at the next COW, which is next Monday. Also, senior housing and heat smart proposal regarding implementing the JRES. So that was the Committee of the Whole, and I'll see you again next Monday for that. I have a hearing officer report, Mountainside Estate appeal. The parties are working together trying to settle that. So the September 12th hearing that was on your schedule, you can cross that off and cross off one meeting, and Ms. Becker's hope make it one fewer meeting.
So happy.
That is not completely done. It may come back, but if it comes back, it will be in November. But they're working hard to figure that out themselves. I also went to the vet dinner, served dinner, thanked all the veterans on behalf of the entire assembly and the mayor. Went to the NEA reception at Sea Alaska, also sponsored by Perseverance Theater. And yes, we're having starting a marimba band. We're recruiting. We have four, I think. The mayor said yes. The mayor said she'll play the triangle. And I was going to ask about Paula Terrell's questions, because the testimony that I have in my email just says testimony. So I'm not sure what questions there were. So if someone could send me the questions, because I searched for Paula Terrell and I don't have them. I don't seem to have them. So I'm not sure what questions there are. I have the testimony from June 3rd, but there don't seem to be questions in there. Or is that the document?
Yeah. Ms. Cosgrove looks like she wants to answer this one.
I was going to start, and then I realized that I might not get the name right. But Paula Terrell was not actually the person who posed the letter. That's your problem.
Oh, that's
the letter came from Kim Metcalf.
Okay, so it was, I'm looking for the wrong person. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for that clarification. Then I do have that. Okay. That's all I have.
Madam Mayor, may I make one comment? I have to do a correction.
Okay, go ahead, Ms.
Becker. I don't want the increase in the assembly pay to be 500, because that's what we get. The fact that I only bring home 416 cents doesn't mean we don't get 500. We supposedly, that's what we have to pay taxes on, right? Even though we don't get it. Something's wrong about that, too. Take that up to the federal government, not our city. So anyway, maybe going to $600, something. Think about a raise. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Becker.
And I just wanted to clarify for Mr. Edwardson that a marimba is the thing you bang on, and like a xylophone, only it's bigger.
I want to do those things.
If you'd been at the block party, you would have seen that. Mr. Edwardson.
Okay, I did forget one thing. Thursday, September 5th, you've probably seen a couple of emails on this. We're going to be holding interviews for a Planning Commission vacancy. Let me see. And something that I didn't mention about the HR committee, we've been examining over the year the composition of the boards and commissions, and we've been looking into maybe either streamlining or improving recruitment and retention. There are some committees that we found have gone through staff, or not staff, but members pretty quickly. Some that probably haven't been up to strength maybe for a long time. So we wanted to see if there's something that we're doing or something that we could do that would improve the situation to help, you know, the boards and commissions look like and make decisions like and recommendations like the population of Juneau. So we did a survey, and I think Ms. Treem did the survey because she does surveys. We got the results back, and you should be able to see the results in board view. I don't want to post that yet. I think we did give a warning that they would be public documents once they were done. However, there's still clearly identifiable information in there, and I would like to talk to Mr. Palmer offline about maybe redacting some of the information. I'm less worried about it being sensitive to the people who responded because they did have a warning. But I want to make sure that there isn't a chilling effect for if we have future surveys, or a chilling effect in people either applying for or staying on boards and commissions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Edwardson, and thank you, Ms. Treen, for conducting the survey. Ms. Hand.
I forgot one thing. Speaking of too many meetings, Public Works and Facilities is canceled for Monday. We just don't have an agenda.
Okay. Thank you for that, too. So, all right. Did you do your presiding?
Yes, yes, Madam Mayor, I did. Thank you.
Okay, just making sure.
September 14th.
Okay, any continuation of public participation on non-agenda items? Seeing and hearing no participation, we'll move on to executive session. Ms. Treem, are you going to?
I'm ready. I move that the Assembly enter into an executive session to discuss matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the City and Borough of Juneau, specifically bid on the subpart lot and litigation strategy.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Treem. Any member of the public oppose us going into executive session? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move to executive session. Do people need 5 minutes?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, so let's come back at...
You're tuned to KTOO Juno, and that wraps up tonight's meeting. They've gone into executive session, but our live broadcast is ending now. The next meeting is scheduled for September 16th, and will be broadcast live right here on KTOO. Thanks for listening tonight. I'm Martha Moore, your host. Have a great rest of your evening.